Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. We begin with breaking news in Raleigh. Crews are on the scene of a fire on Hillsborough Street. WRAL's Carly Haynes is also there. Carly, what have you learned?
Well, Julian, we just got here. Things are still developing. We haven't even been able to speak to the command center yet because they are in there putting out the fire as we speak. But a lot of activity going on here. We have been seeing smoke coming from that parking deck area over by Hillsborough Street. Firefighters going in and out actively. And there is the fire alarm going off both in the parking deck, but also in the apartment buildings above. And look at all of these people over to their left right here. That is going to be all the people who have been evacuated from their apartments above the parking deck region. They don't really know what's going on either. They've been asking us some questions as well, still trying to get answers. They believe it was a fire that was stemming from the parking deck. But a lot of activity here. We're going to step over and try to speak to some of the command center firefighters as soon as we get a chance to do so. But this is still very much just developing, Julian.
All right, Carly Haynes reporting live in Raleigh, giving us the latest. We will follow back up with you later this evening. Thank you. Well, just as the rain has cleared, the next big storm system is making its way toward the Carolinas. The storm is expected to approach our area by Tuesday. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione is tracking the system. And Anthony, this storm has the potential to bring severe weather.
Yeah, Julian, this is one that we've been watching here for the past couple of days. And we're just now starting to get a look kind of at the higher resolution models, meaning we can bring you a look at kind of where we might see some discrete cells, where we might see the rainfall setting up. Let's start with that severe risk, though. This is for Monday. This is kind of the energy within the storm system. Along the Gulf Coast right there, they're looking at a decent chance, a pretty significant chance, actually, of some strong tornadoes pushing through. We look at our severe risk into Tuesday. We're under the level 2 out of 5 just south of the triangle, and that includes all of our southern counties. Let's walk through Futurecast. So this is a brand new kind of hot off the press model to show you, and I think it's doing a pretty good job. 7 o'clock Tuesday morning, we should have a decent amount of rainfall with us, pockets of it off and on through the day. We go into the afternoon after lunchtime, again, some scattered showers and storms where we start to get a little bit more concerned. Watch what happens here at 8 o'clock in the evening. You notice this kind of line setting up back to the west. It's what we call a squall line. It could have some very strong wind gusts embedded in it, and as it crosses our area, notice it's starting to push out by the time we get, let's say, by midnight for our eastern counties, and it drags all of that moisture still with it. But wind gusts are going to be a big factor for us. We time this out. I mean, we're talking wind gusts 40 to potentially 50 miles an hour here through the day on Tuesday. It goes to the coast, Julian, and definitely going to cause some big-time coastal flooding issues as well. We're going to walk through this a little bit more in detail, show you exactly how to plan here for this week coming up.
All right. Speaking of planning, let's talk about Duke Energy. Duke Energy is preparing for the possibility of severe weather Tuesday. The utility is monitoring developments, planning their response because the severe weather will likely be widespread. Deciding where to position crews ahead of time can be difficult, though.
And one of the challenges when you have a statewide storm is it's hard to move resources ahead of the storm because you got to make sure your local community stays protected. So a lot of times in those situations, what we do is we'll have those crews stay where they are. If they don't experience outages, we can quickly deploy them to other areas that were harder hit, and then they can help those local crews there.
Now, Jeff Brooks always has more to share. He says the chance of down power lines is possible. He says if you see one, always assume it has power and just stay away. To help you be prepared for severe weather events, we want to remind you to download the WRAL News app. I'm telling you, it is a great app to have. Our team of meteorologists will be tracking the radar and sharing updates, as this is a great way to stay on top of the developments. Let's go to some more breaking news tonight. Deputies in Harnett County are looking for a man wanted for murder. This is video from our breaking news tracker. Anthony Washington was found shot and killed this morning in the Winding Ridge, Sanford area. Police believe Tamir Jones is responsible for the death of Washington. Jones is wanted for first-degree murder. He's currently on the run. If you see him or know his whereabouts, call police. They want to hear from you. In the last hour, we have learned much more about the shooting deaths of 3 people on Abbott Road in Vance County. Now, you may recall this was breaking news just last night. The sheriff's office has identified them as 49-year-old Danielle Williams, 25-year-old Trayvon Hargrove, both of Henderson, and 47-year-old Juan Black of Lewisburg. Investigators have not said who pulled the trigger, but they do say this was an isolated incident and that there's no danger to the public. A death investigation is underway after a body was found near the Target in Goldsboro. Police responded to a report of a deceased person on Sunburst Drive shortly before 10:30 this morning. Officers found a body in a nearby pond. Police are trying to identify the body and determine the cause of death. A Raleigh man charged in a murder-for-hire plot has a first court appearance tomorrow. Wake Forest police say Rhett Barlow asked someone to kill a man named Donald Claudere Jr. Back in 2016, Claudere had been involved in a crash on Capitol Boulevard. That crash killed Barlow's mother, a high school teacher, Michelle Barlow. Claudere was charged with misdemeanor death by vehicle and failure to reduce speed. As for Barlow, he's in jail now under a $1 million secure bond after being arrested at Fort Liberty. Groups demanding a ceasefire in Gaza once again gathered for a protest in Raleigh's Moore Square today. The protest was peaceful and was smaller than some of the demonstrations we have seen on previous weekends. Some St. Augustine's University students are left stranded after the university announced the first 2 weeks of classes this semester will be virtual. Classes were originally supposed to start in person just this week. The interim president sent an email to students just days before classes were supposed to start. In that email, the interim president said the university would be going virtual to make sure dorms and classrooms are in good condition. Now, we did speak to one mom of a St. Aug student who said her son drove 3 hours to check in on Friday, but was turned away and told, quote, they only had enough food for student athletes. He's currently sleeping on the couch at a family member's home, nearly an hour away from the university. He also works in Raleigh, so he's unable to make it to his job.
It's just, he's very depressed right now because he had plans to be back in school, back with his friends, going to work, and he's just not able to do none of that. And now he got to figure out how he's going to check into class because they told him 3 days before they're supposed to start school.
Wow, that's just so troubling to hear. The interim president wrote that the university will find students a place to stay if they check in this week. Now, classes will return in person on January 22nd, and students can return to campus starting on the 19th. We have new information this evening. Two men are connected to a connection of a November homicide in Halifax County. Police responded to an initial suicide call and found 27-year-old Brittany Smith shot to death days after Thanksgiving in Roanoke Rapids. They identified 30-year-old Demonte Saquon Johnson and Smith's boyfriend and 27-year-old Patrick Laquan Banks, who were both inside the home at the time of her death. After an extensive investigation, investigators later determined the shooting was not a suicide. Banks and Johnson now face several charges connected to the incident. If you have any information on their whereabouts, you are asked to call police. The Cumberland County Juvenile Crime Prevention Council wants new youth program ideas. The council is asking organizations to submit proposals to keep at-risk teens and children out of trouble. The goal is to reduce the amount of juvenile crime in the county and in Fayetteville. The council's chairman says if a program is effective, that might mean no news is good news.
So sometimes, you know, these programs that are out there that are doing things, it may be something that we never ever get to measure because they prevented anything from happening.
It's a really good point. The deadline for the groups to submit proposals is Monday, February 5th. Starting tomorrow, Cape Fear Valley Health Facilities will lower the minimum age requirement for visitation from 16 to 12 years old in most areas. The health system will also begin requiring masks in the waiting rooms of express care locations. Visitors will be asked to wear a mask if the patient they are visiting is experiencing respiratory illness. Visitation to patients and respiratory illnesses will also be limited to one person at a time. The future of mega gas station Buc-ee's in North Carolina is still up in the air. The meeting happening tomorrow to put the controversial beaver at the forefront. And celebrating this, the local convention bringing thousands of fans to Raleigh. Take a look at that shot right there of downtown Raleigh. Doesn't it look beautiful? What a gorgeous night. Well, welcome back. Mebane City Council holds a public hearing tomorrow on a controversial development proposal. I know you've heard of this. Buc-ee's has proposed building a 75,000 square foot facility on 32 acres. Buc-ee's is a massive gas station restaurant complex found in other parts of the country. Now, those against the development have concerns about the quality of life and the environment. In December, the Mebane Planning Board voted 3-6 to recommend denying rezoning for the project. Tomorrow's city council meeting starts at 6 p.m. in the Glendale Stevenson Municipal Building. Civil rights leader William Barber plans to hold a news conference tomorrow to announce his next steps in his fight for the rights of people with disabilities. This follows Bishop Barber's removal from a screening of The Color Purple at the AMC Theater in Greenville, North Carolina last month. Now, Barber has a rare form of arthritis and uses a special chair everywhere he goes. Cell phone video captured the moment he tried to use it in the theater, and employees asked him to leave. Barber had a recent meeting with AMC CEO, but he says the focus remains on the broader issue of ensuring equal treatment for all individuals with disabilities. There's a controversial new law on the books in North Carolina, and schools are grappling with how to comply with it. Republican sponsors call it the Parents' Bill of Rights. It's designed to expand information available to parents of public school students. It includes provisions that opponents say will out transgendered students to their parents before they're ready to tell them. Opponents and supporters of the law say school boards, principals, and teachers have their own approaches to implementing the law, meaning it won't look the same for every student, family, or school. Now, you can read more about that law and what it does and what advocates are hearing from schools. Just go to the education section of WRL.com. Voice animation enthusiasts are packing the Raleigh Convention Center this weekend for Animate Raleigh. Animate Raleigh comes from the organizers of GalaxyCon, which hosted more than 55,000 people over the summer. And that large turnout is the reason behind this weekend's convention. Attendees say it's like a reunion and it gives them a way to connect.
Cosplay is just so, it's just the epitome of people's passion. And to be able to come and share that with people, even if I don't know where their source material is from, I can see that the attention and time that they spent into something, and it just means a lot just to see it.
It looks like so much fun. Now, organizers say they are expecting anywhere between 10 to 12,000 attendees to this weekend's convention. Animate Raleigh ends at 8 p.m. tonight. All right, imagine this, selling everything you own and moving into a van. That's exactly what this Carey couple is doing. This is Brenna and Jason Derigos. They got married last month, and now it's time for a new adventure, driving from Alaska to Argentina with their two large dogs while living in their van. And the couple says they plan to be gone for 2 years and hope to experience something new each day.
Living day to day is exhausting, and sometimes it feels like we're just going through a process.
Yeah, we don't want to live the same day over and over again. We want to be creators of our life.
All right, I can dig that. That's different. The couple is holding an ongoing estate sale to get rid of all their belongings. They say they will continue this until everything is gone. The hope is to leave on this trip in the spring, and they plan to video their journey and post it to their social media. Hey, we need that social media handle. Get that to us. We want to follow you guys on this journey. Hey, Anthony, let's talk more about this severe weather coming our way, possibly on Tuesday.
Yeah, Julian, this looks like it's going to be kind of our next active system that comes in, mainly during the day on Tuesday, even into Tuesday night. Tomorrow's looking great, though, so you can rest easy tonight. Tomorrow we're looking great. Let's talk about this next storm system, though, that comes in. This is the severe risk that the Storm Prediction Center put out earlier today. So we're getting kind of our first look at what we're thinking potentially could happen. That level two risk cuts off right from about Sanford down to the south. The big question here is, are we going to be able to get enough instability in the atmosphere? There's certainly a lot of it above us, but we need some relatively warmer weather to kind of filter on in, get some of this moisture up to potentially produce strong storms. Our biggest threat at this point, when I look at the data, looks to be the wind. We are looking at widespread wind gusts 40 to 50 miles an hour along the Outer Banks. It could be 60 to 70. So that's going to be certainly enough if you have Christmas decorations still outside, if you have lawn furniture, anything that could blow around. Tomorrow is going to be a good day to just kind of secure that so you're not running down the street on Wednesday trying to pick everything up. We talk about future cast. So here's 7 o'clock Tuesday morning. It's likely to be a wet commute in for Tuesday. Lunchtime, we may see a little bit of a break. It's not going to be pouring down rain all day long. We go into the afternoon again, scattered showers and storms possible. Where I think that potential severe risk could come in is with this line. This comes in into the evening. It's right about there. As this gets closer, it's going to have a lot of wind energy to work with, and that chance for some very quick spin-up tornadoes that can kind of be sneaky sometimes, that would be what we're looking at here as that line comes through. It's not all day long that we're looking at, you know, the chance of tornadoes for everyone. It's really when this line comes through into the evening. We take FutureCast here farther ahead, and it looks like everything gets out of here by late Tuesday night into Wednesday. Wind is by far going to be our biggest impact from this. So I'll start you off Tuesday morning. That line starts to get a little bit closer, 30 to 40 mile per hour gusts. I'll pause this here for that evening commute, 5 o'clock, 46 mile per hour gusts there in Raleigh, 36 in Fayetteville. This is one model's depiction of what potentially could happen. I think it's doing a very good job of showing that 47 by the time we get to 8 o'clock, and it finally pushes off to the east here into early Wednesday morning. We're still looking at winds gusting up to about 30 to start our middle part of the week. Rainfall looks probably about 1 to 3 inches. Some of the models have pushed back just a little bit, with a lot of this getting back toward the mountains there by the time we get into Wednesday morning. Not a huge rainmaker. There still is that chance, though, of some flash flooding if we get under some of those heavier bands. With that said, we're calm this evening. 52 in Raleigh, 52 in Durham, 45 in Roxborough. Actually, a pretty nice end to the weekend. It'll be chilly tomorrow morning, though. You'll want that winter coat. Upper 20s and low 30s. We have mostly clear skies for us. And then actually a very pleasant start to the week. Just a little bit cooler. We're in the low 50s tomorrow, maybe a few upper 40s to the north. A good amount of sunshine, but then things, like I said, start to change as we get into Tuesday. By the way, look at temperatures on Tuesday. We're at 66 degrees. That will be a little bit of fuel that we'll watch for to fuel some of those storms. 53 on Wednesday, we get another storm system there coming and joining us as we head into Friday, even into early part of the next weekend.
All right, thanks, Anthony. Casey, it is finally over.
Oh, man, Julian, the Carolina Panthers season has mercifully come to an end. The finale, though, also a microcosm of the entire 17-game season. Plus, we had a thriller and a heartbreaker in Blacksburg. NC State shorthanded. Could the ladies come away with the big road dub? We got highlights next. Boy, it's tough enough to go on the road and face a top 15 opponent. Even tougher when you're without your starting center. NC State missing River Baldwin today, who suffered an ankle injury on Thursday night. Virginia Tech featuring one of the nation's best post players in the nation. Wes Moore said it would take everyone to protect inside. Let's get you up to a sold-out Castle Coliseum. The Pack out in front early. Missing your inside threat, so what do you do? Well, the ladies doing some work on the perimeter. Madison Hayes knocking down a pair of triples. She had a team high 21 points. Third quarter, State up 11. The freshman, Zoe Brooks, no fear, runs right by the Hokies for their largest lead of the game. And just when you thought it looked put away, the Pack go cold and the Hokies go on a 14-2 run. Georgia Amore, not who you want heating up, drops the triple. And 7.4 seconds left, Pack down. Wes Moore couldn't have drawn it up any better. A tic-tac-toe off the inbounds and Saniya Rivers. Baseline right at Elizabeth Kitley, and it goes in. With 2.1 ticks left, Kenny Brooks says, I'll draw you up one better. The long pass to Kitley underneath for the game winner. A heartbreaker in Blacksburg. State's first loss of the season, 63-62. Duke also in the Commonwealth. State taking on Virginia Blue Devils. They also jumping out to an early lead with six Blue Devils scratching the score sheet in the first few minutes. Ashlyn Jackson throws up a pair for a 10-point lead. Now, Duke absolutely dominated this one in the paint. Reagan Richardson pulls up from the blue. She had a game-high 18 points on the afternoon, but the Cavaliers would come within three in the fourth quarter. But Kennedy Brown, she gets a couple of lucky bounces here. She chips in 13. Duke moves to 2-2 in ACC play. They get a big win, 60-56, the final. North Carolina ladies at number 16, Notre Dame, for their first true road game of the season. Heels looking to go 3-0 in ACC play. They led the entire first half, but right now in the third quarter, they're down 3, 38-35. Well, it's finally over. The end of the Panther season could not come fast enough for fans, the team, and probably this guy, Bryce Young, who has had his own struggles. But boy, we can't forget that he's been left out down a lot by his offensive line and the weapons, if you want to call that, around him. But hey, you know what? Maybe one last chance to send an opponent out of the playoffs. Bank of America Stadium we go. Baker Mayfield making his first return. Second quarter, no score. Panthers a chance to strike first. Bryce Young connects with DJ Chark Jr. He goes 43 yards and dives into the end zone. But the ball comes out and is recovered by Jamel Dean in the end zone. The play is initially ruled a touchdown, but take another look. Ball comes out before it crosses the plane. Touchback Tampa takes over. Fourth quarter, Bucks up 9-0. Raheem Blackshear takes the handoff, goes to the outside. He goes 28 yards for the touchdown. But, yeah, this play is going to be called back for illegal formation. Panthers held up the scoreboard, but, folks, it gets worse. Or it sums it all up, however you want to put it. Very next play, Akeem Ikwuanu beat on the edge. Young is sacked, a franchise record 62 times this season. Panthers shut out in back-to-back weeks. First time that's happened in the NFL since 2008. Carolina ends the season 2-15. Chris Tabor one last time at the podium.
We shot ourselves in the foot. And, you know, we score a couple times and self-inflicted, took those points off the board. So that's obviously very disappointing. Liked how our guys bounced back from a previous week of how what we were trying to do. And, you know, with regards to running the football, I thought our defense played really well, limiting those guys to field goals. The season's over now. That's it. And with that, I'll answer any of the questions.
Well, Julian, there's going to be a lot of questions to be answered here as we move into the offseason. Of course, Chris Tabor will not be the head coach, as he was just the interim coach. So the coaching search goes on. They're going to have to find some weapons for Bryce Young. Just a lot of things they've got to fix up there in Charlotte.
There are so many questions, but I'm thankful that we have the offseason, right?
Finally here. Now we can enjoy some good old NFL playoff season. You know,
yeah,
the good
that's
football.
True. And who knows who they'll bring in for a coach, though, right?
Right.
Let the rumors start.
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Casey. And thank you, yes, you, for joining us tonight. We'll have a good night, and we'll see you a little bit later.